Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast, the Percy Jackson and Poseidon podcast. So this is going to be my review for the first episode of the Disney Plus series Percy Jackson and the Olympians. I'm very excited for the show. I've been waiting for it for years, ever since they announced it. So season one is going to sort of cover the first book, The Lightning Thief. And so I really hope, you know, this goes better than the movies. I'm 100% positive it will be. And so yeah, I'm probably going to be comparing it to the movies as I go along for my reviews. But I'm very excited to finally review the show. So this is going to be episode one. So the title of the episode is actually a reference to the first chapter of the book. So that I like that. And also the opening narration is by Percy is from the first page of the book. And so I like that even if you haven't read the book, the show is still starting you off like right at the beginning. You're still getting that flavor of the book. And so I really like that aspect. And Percy kind of explains that, you know, he's a bit different. And we see like a younger Percy being able to like see things through the mist. Like he sees Blackjack, the Pegasus. And I like that we're setting Blackjack up early in the show because he plays a bigger role later on, especially in book three. And so I hope that the show gets to do all five of the original books, a season per book. So I really hope that the show does well and that we can get, you know, we can continue on and do the rest of the books. That'd be great. And so then we get like a new scene that's not in the books of a young Percy at the museum with his mom, Sally, and she's explaining to him why she named him Perseus. And it's a real sweet scene that kind of shows us the warmth and the caringness and the relationship between Percy and his mom, Sally. And one of my criticisms about the movie is that we never really got that connection between Percy and his mom. And this episode just kind of fixes all of that. So I really love that. We see his relationship with her. We see how much they take care of each other, how much they mean to each other. And so it's going to mean more when he is determined to go get her back from Hades. Whereas in the movie, you just never really felt that. And so I really like that we spent so much time with Sally in this first episode. I think that's great. And then we see Percy and Grover at the school, Yancey Academy, being picked on by Nancy Boba Fett. And, you know, he gets accused of pushing her into the water fountain. Although I'm not really sure how he did that. Because it wasn't like the water from the fountain pulled her in. It was more like, you know, he like pushed her. He had the hands out, but like, you know, she flew back. But and Percy doesn't really have the ability to like push people with his mind without touching them. So I'm not really sure like how that all worked out. But it alerts Mrs. Dodds, and she turns into her true form of the Fury. And I like the transformation and the look of the Fury, Mrs. Dodds. I thought that was done really well. And then of course Percy uses Riptide to defeat her, which Mr. Bruner had given to him earlier in the museum. And we actually don't really get, like, you get, like, two scenes with Mrs. Dodds here. And I'll come back to that later. I wish we got more. But then Percy gets kicked out of the school, and he's kind of is betrayed by Grover. But Grover's only doing it for Percy's protection. But he does get kicked out of the school. And so then we meet his stepfather, Gabe. And this is where it's a little bit of a departure from the character in the book. This version of Gabe, you know, while I like him, is sort of a, like, Disney version of the character. Because in the book, Gabe is, like, a complete creep. He's an a-hole. Like, he's disgusting, mean, and cruel. And, like, and in the movie version, that was, you know, pretty much how he was in the book as well. In this version, while, yeah, he's a little bit of a dick, he's not outright abusive and sexist towards Sally. He's not, like, that cruel, like, so, you know, he's just kind of like a layabout and a jerk in this, which, you know, I actually like because in the books, you're like, why would Sally put up with this guy who's, like, clearly abusive? Like, even if it is for Percy's protection, like, you would not put up with that guy. And this is a version that I can understand her staying with him to protect Percy, you know, and they even have some things in common. So they like to watch the basketball game and eat sandwiches together. And so I like this version of Gabe, even though he's pretty different from the book. I think this is a little bit better of a fit with the story that we're telling, even if it is kind of like Disney-fied. So then Sally takes Percy to the cabin in Montauk, just like the book, so I like that. And this is a good scene where Sally tries to tell Percy the truth. And then, you know, she says, I fell in love with a god. And I like that Percy says, you fell in love with God, like Jesus. I thought that was funny, because that's something a kid would think of, like, if you were to say that to them. They're like, huh? And of course, Percy doesn't believe her, and he doesn't believe that he's a demigod. And then Grover comes in, and he sees Grover's legs are goat legs. And so then he starts to definitely think, like, something is up, right? So then they hop in the car, and Grover tries to explain everything to him. And at one point, Grover mentions he's 24, which I thought was kind of a little funny moment. And I like the car chase scene with the Minotaur, and, you know, Grover says that the Mythomagic cards were, you know, they were part of Percy's training to, like, get him familiar with all of the Greek mythology and stuff. And so I like bringing in the cards earlier in the story, because they also play a bigger part in book three. So I like setting it up early, like Blackjack. It's nice, and I, you know, especially if they make it to season three, I like them setting things up here. And the car crashes, and so then they head to Camp Half-Blood, but Sally tries to distract the Minotaur so that Percy can't escape. But obviously she gets captured and she kind of like disintegrates into the air. And if you've read the books, you understand, you know what happens. And so we'll find out, you know, probably soon in the next episode or so. And so Percy then pulls out Riptide and he tries to fight the Minotaur. And he defeats the Minotaur by stabbing it with its own horn. I believe that's just how it happened in the book too. I'm not sure if I like the glowing effect on Riptide. I think it makes it hard to see the sword and the details of the sword. I think they did it mainly because that whole Minotaur sequence is so dark. You can't hardly see what's going on. And so you have to have the sword glowing to know that Percy's, you know, holding a weapon. But I think it distracts from the Riptide just a little bit. But then the episode ends with Percy, you know, waking up in Camp Half-Blood as we see a silhouette of Chiron in his centaur form. And that's where it ends. And so, yeah, I really like this episode. I think it sticks to the plot of the book, you know, pretty well while making some subtle changes that add to the story. Obviously, a lot was left out, too, and that's fine. You know, I really like the cast. I really like this version of Grover. It's a slightly different from the book, but also it's this, you know, maintains the core essences of the character. Like, this feels like Grover much more than that movie version. That was not Grover character. This is more of Grover, but just a slightly different version. I think the actor does, like, a really great job with the role. He's very charming. We don't get a lot of him, but like I said, I think it works really well. I really like the actress playing Sally. She had a warmth and care of the character, but she's also a little bit more assertive and not like a pushover to Gabe, so I like that. We didn't get much of Mr. Bruner, aka Chiron, in this, but we did get was really good. We didn't get Annabeth, so I'm excited to see her in the next episode. And I really like Walker Scobell in the lead role of Percy. I think he does a really good job with the character. He feels very much like, kind of like the Percy from the book. Like, he feels very much like a kid, right? Whereas in the movie, that was very much like a 16-year-old teenage boy. This feels more like in line with like a 12-year-old, 13-year-old kid. And so I really like that aspect. And I only have two complaints about this episode, really. So one is that everything just felt a little bit rushed. The episode moves at a fast pace. It's only 38 minutes. So it's not like they needed to rush the episode. They could have had like another 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes. I just think, you know, we could have spent a little more time at the school, like really establishing, you know, why Percy's not doing well in school because of his dyslexia and ADHD, you know, being bullied by Nancy, you know, all of that stuff. I think we could have spent, you know, a little bit more with Mrs. Dodds, like I said. So I think we could have just spent a few more minutes at the school. I think we could have spent some more time at the cabin or even at Percy's apartment. You know, and there was a short little scene with, like, the landlord or the maintenance man and, like, you know, Percy coming to the apartment, the maintenance man is coming out, and that kind of gives you a glimpse of, like, Percy's home life a little bit, but I don't think it was enough. I think we needed just, like, a little bit more time with Percy in the apartment with Gabe to really kind of understand, like, Percy's life and how, like, his home life is not very great, and he's also getting kicked out of all these schools. Like, I think we should spend a little more time. I think there's just something about this episode that just feels like just a little bit rushed. Like, it feels like we go from, you know, the school to, like, Montauk to the end with the Minotaur, like that. Like, so I wish we would have just, like I said, added another 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 more minutes to the episode. Really kind of flesh out the story and get to know the characters just a little bit more. As somebody who's read the books, obviously all of that's, like, you know, filled in my head already. So I'm curious as to somebody who hasn't read the books or even seen the movie, how this, like, this comes off. Does it feel rushed if you haven't read the books and you know all that filler? do you feel like this was rushed? I don't know. But to me, it feels a bit rushed. And then the other thing is Percy is, like, very sad and dour in this episode. It's kind of like a bummer. You know, while I love the tone from the trailers of the show, I thought, you know, this could be something, you know, that captures that, you know, sort of epic Greek mythology while still being, you know, something for kids. I didn't think that it would be, like, the constant tone of the show. And I want a bit more of the lighthearted moments. You know, I think the actor does a great job as Percy, but I don't want Percy to be, like, a bummer throughout the entire show. Like, he's 12, so he needs to be able to, like, have those fun moments and, you know, like, that kids have, you know. And yes, it's a serious situation, but, you know, book Percy isn't, like, a downer of a person the whole time. Like, he you know, has those, you know, like, fun moments. He knows how to make the best of it and sometimes, and, you know, when he can, and, you know, crack jokes and be a little lighthearted. And so I just wish we would have gotten that a little bit more in this. Like, he's just, like, so sad. Like, he just has, like, the sad tone throughout the entire episode. So I wish we would have got, like, if we had more scenes, like I said, if it didn't feel so rushed, maybe we could have got those little bit character beats where we see Percy kind of, you know, being a fun kid a little bit. And it's just, like, little tiny moments. It doesn't have to be anything like a long scene, you know. And so, yeah, so I hope we get more of that tone going forward. And as far as the show being, like, too kiddie, like, for kids, I don't think it is. I think this fits the tone of the book pretty well. It's very accessible for kids, obviously, and teenagers, but it has enough of those, like, adult themes to, like, keep the grown-ups interested. So I think, again, I think if we can get some of those little moments where Percy's, you know, not so down, maybe, you know, we can lighten it up a little bit. And I think this could have a really good tone that appeals to, like, everybody. And the books, they are a little more, I mean, they're told from Percy's point of view, so they are a little bit more, like, kid-ish, you know, because he talks the way a kid would talk, right? As opposed to, like, the Harry Potter books, they're a little more accessible to grown-ups because they're told in third person, I think. And so, I think this could capture, this is trying to go for more of a Harry Potter tone, which I think is fine, I don't mind that. But again, I want those little bits of fun kid moments. And I think we're going to get those. I think that was just this episode because, again, I think it feels too rushed. They maybe even cut some stuff out. I'm not sure. So I do want that, like, going forward. And so I'm very excited to see the next episode. And so, yeah, overall, I really enjoyed this episode. I hope the show can continue to be this good or better. And I have high hopes for this. I look forward to, like, watching the rest of the show. And I want to see Annabeth, I want to see how Camp Half-Blood plays out, and meet the other characters, Luke, and Clarice, and everybody, and so I can't wait to kind of get into all of that. And from what we see in this first episode, how close it sticks to the book, I have really high hopes for the rest of the show that it's going to tell the book story of Percy Jackson very well. It's going to cut out some stuff, obviously, and that's fine, but we're going to see how close it sticks to the book and what new stuff it adds. And I'm very excited for that. And I want to see a little bit of Percy having that little bit of fun. Especially when they go to Lotus Casino. That has to be a fun sequence. So, yeah. So those are my thoughts for the first episode of the Disney Plus show, Percy Jackson and the Olympians. Let me know what you guys think in the comments below. Stay tuned to the Percy Jack Sun Up Poseidon podcast for more reviews of the show. I also have a review of the first movie that I'm working on as well. I still need to read the new book, Chalice of the Gods, so I'll look out for that also. So yeah, lots of Percy Jackson content. Stay tuned to the podcast. And until next time, is that the Minotaur? It's wearing underwear. Bye.